We're going to get our Bibles open now. So if you need a Bible, please put your hand up and a steward will come and bring you one. And this evening we're back in the book of Proverbs on page 636. 637, sorry. Looking at the second half of chapter 3. One down here. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Solomon writes, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, and ornaments to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame." Well, before we turn back and consider these words for us today, let's turn to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you because you are the wise King. You hold all wisdom. And so, Lord, as we look at this part of your word this evening, we pray that you would help us understand what it has to teach us. That as we come now as beggars before you, we pray that you would give us insight, you'd give us wisdom, that you'd show us our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Father, please teach us this evening, we pray. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, audience participation is allowed here. How would you finish the following sentence or two words? Blessed are, ... or most happy are, ... Any takers? Go on, Andrew. Blessed are the wise. Okay, good answer. You can come and preach this in a minute if you like. Anything else? How would our world perhaps say, answer this question? Blessed are, Glenn.
The rich.
The rich. Anything else? You can shout them out. You don't have to put your hand up.
Powerful.
The powerful. Blessed are.
The poor in spirit.
Yeah, look at the Beatitudes. Fantastic. Now, you're obviously much more godly than I was thinking about in preparation. Here are some of the suggestions I came up with. Ready? Blessed are those who are rich, or those, you know, who won the lottery. Well done them. They've done pretty well. Blessed are those who are good looking. Blessed are those who have a good family or caring friends. Blessed are those who have a good reputation. Blessed or happy are they who have a great house. Blessed are those who have good health. Blessed are dot, dot, dot. Now, I've named a few things there, and I'm sure if we'd kind of sat longer, we could probably think of a lot more other things that you could finish that sentence with. And I guess, depending on our age and stage in life at the moment, we might come up with completely different ideas. But as we turn back to Proverbs 3, look at how King Solomon and Andrew answers this sentence. So verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Does that surprise you? It might not do if like Andrew spotted that as he went through. But I'm sure for many of us, that might have not been our first answer, or certainly not perhaps what our world would answer. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Now, for Solomon to say these, you might be thinking, well, it's quite easy for him to say this, mightn't it? You know, easy for Solomon to say that, given that he asked God for wisdom, and he was given wisdom, and then he was also given long life and lots of money and other things to go with it. But I think actually that helps us even more, because given all that Solomon had, he had wisdom, he had the riches, he had splendor, he had a long life. He could have finished that sentence in any other way. But Solomon chose to say, blessed are those who find wisdom. Now, just to be clear, just to clarify, wisdom here, we're talking about, by wisdom we mean how to do life well, how to live in a godly manner, to live a life that pleases God, to successfully navigate all that comes along the road in life from infancy to old age. And as Solomon speaks, he's talking about the words of wisdom he's speaking. And for us, it's the Bible that's the word of God that's been given to us. Therefore, Solomon says, the person who's got wisdom, he is blessed. Because he has something money cannot buy. See, look at verse 14 and 15. He says, for she, that's wisdom, for wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. These are all big statements, are they, about wisdom? But that last one was quite something, I think. Nothing you desire can compare with her. So just for a moment, think about something you really desire in life. Solomon says, whatever you're thinking about right now isn't as good as wisdom. In fact, you can't compare it. It doesn't compare. If you did, it'd be like trying to compare some kind of huge elephant with an ant. It's not worth it. But that's not all. Look at verse 16 to 18. Here, wisdom is personified like a queen holding an orb and scepter as she holds long life in her right hand and riches in her left. Her ways are pleasant and full of peace. She is a tree of life, a fruitful source. All who hold on to her, verse 18, will be blessed. Solomon wants to make it really clear that wisdom is highly valuable. Therefore, blessed are those who find wisdom. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. Just have a think. Is that something you agree with? Do you view wisdom, as described here, as highly as Solomon does? Just take a moment to think about that. Now, in the early chapters of Proverbs, we see that wisdom is something we should both listen to and something we should search hard for. But more than that, it's worth pursuing because it is a gift from God for all who come and ask for it from him, like Solomon did. And we're told that wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And what that really means is recognizing that he is big and that we are small, that he is majestic and holy, and we are rebellious and sinful. In fact, when we remember our place and natural standing before the Lord, considering our sin, considering all the wrong things that we've done, it's actually a scary place to be, isn't it? Until we trust in the wisdom of God, revealed in the person and life-giving work of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, that Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. In Jesus, we stand righteous before our Lord. And as we listen to Jesus' words revealed in Scripture, we gain wisdom. Wisdom in understanding how to do life well. Wisdom how to walk through life in a way that's wholly satisfying and pleasing to God. Wisdom in salvation for all who believe through Jesus. That's foolishness in our world's eyes, but makes total sense when we come to understand it through the wisdom God gives. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Now, I hope for many of us here, we're already persuaded of that truth, but this chapter has kind of many more reasons kind of layered up as we go through that's going to say and teach us why this is true. And firstly, blessed are those who find wisdom, because we're talking about wisdom used by God to make our world. So you might have spotted in verse 18, there's kind of almost a, whether it's deliberate or not, I'm not sure, but there's a reference to the tree of life, which could kind of trigger our minds back to the Garden of Eden. So just, we'll follow from verse 19, but the tree of life is there in verse 18. Verse 19, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. That's a great phrase, isn't it? By wisdom, by understanding, by God's knowledge, he created all things on the earth, everything we see around us. By wisdom, God created all things below the earth in the depths of the sea. By wisdom, God created all things above the earth, reaching even to the heavens. And so Solomon writes, blessed are those who find wisdom, because he's talking about the same wisdom used by God to make our world. And what's so striking here is that this wisdom is the wisdom that God makes available to us through Jesus. The wisdom used by God to make our world, to create trees, to form oceans, and to breathe out life. This wisdom is at our disposal. And if that's not going to excite you, then nothing will. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the believer's new identity in Christ. And then he writes how they have the power of God working in them. And as he does, Paul says that this power is the same used to raise Christ from the dead and to seat him in the highest place in the heavenly realms, above all things. And we read that and we're supposed to be like, that's wow, that's amazing. This power that's available for a believer in the Lord Jesus. Friends, as we read Proverbs 3, we should have the same reaction about wisdom. See, think about it. The wisdom God used to make our world is at our disposal through Jesus. This wisdom is fuel for us to burn as we make choices in everyday life. It's a gift from God for all who forsake their own understanding and wisdom and go and ask God to give them real wisdom through his word. Now really, this should cause us to call out for wisdom, to pray, to ask for it. Lord, I'm so unwise. Fill me with your wisdom on how to do life. Teach me through your word how to put you first and to be loving to all that you've made. Teach me to be like Jesus, who was completely wise in all he said and all that he did. Do you remember those words at the beginning of John's Gospel in chapter 1 that describe Jesus? Let me just read some of them to us. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Our Lord Jesus was there at creation. As the third person of the Trinity, Jesus was there in the beginning, using wisdom to lay the foundations of our world and breathe humanity into existence and make us in his image. He has life in himself, we're told, and he gives physical life to all who live in his world. But on top of this, Jesus not only used wisdom to make our world, but he used wisdom as he stepped into our world and lived among us. See, Jesus possessed, didn't he, wisdom in abundance and lived life perfectly. He held on to wisdom at all costs, bringing glory to his Father. It's recorded in Mark's Gospel that after teaching and healing, the crowds remarked this about Jesus. They said, "He has done everything well." That is our Savior. And that's why we can say, blessed are those who find wisdom. Wisdom used by God to make our world. And as we just start to capture something more about the wisdom that God makes available, it's no surprise that in verse 21 and beyond that we start to come across commands. And particularly in verse 21, there's this command to not let wisdom out of our sight. When shopping recently, I was wisely encouraged by my wife to not let my daughter Eleanor out of my sight. And I think it's one of those phrases or one of those sentences that come up often in family life, which really shouldn't need to be said, but they always are. And confession time, I was waiting for Rachel, and I let Eleanor play on one of those kind of moving car things outside of a shop. I'm told they move if you put money in them, but I haven't told Eleanor that yet. She just sits on them. She has a great time. Anyway, she was there 1 minute, and the next she was gone. And I was like, goodness. In my defense, I had Tobias, my other child, on my lap. So I thought, well, if Rachel comes back at this point, I've got 50% of our children, so that's not too bad. But anyway, heart pumping, kind of got up, looking over here. It feels like it's going on for a long time. It was probably about 10 seconds until another mum just said, oh, she's hiding behind another one. Phew. Compose myself quick before Rachel comes back. Nothing happened. Lesson learnt. Keep your eyes fixed on child. Just like my wife said, don't let her out of your sight. In fact, where possible, to kind of help with that, walk next to her, keep her close to you, hold on to her if need be. And this is how we're called to treat wisdom. You see, hopefully we've seen its value that Solomon's declared to us through the word this evening. But now we're called to not let wisdom and understanding out of our sight. And the good news for us is that wisdom isn't like my daughter. Wisdom isn't going to run off and hide somewhere. The only danger is that we might lose sight of its value or forget the need to ask for it. See, as the famous breakup line goes, it's not you, Lady Wisdom, it's me. She's not going to run off, but we might drop our gaze. And for our good, we're called to keep sight of her, to hold on to her, to use the language of verse 18. Hold on to her. And just as Jesus modeled living wisely, as we hold on to wisdom, we'll be shaped by wisdom and learn how to order life in the same way that God ordered our world. And that's the focus, really, of our next section of this passage. So blessed are those who find wisdom, wisdom used by God to make our world. And secondly, wisdom available to shape our steps. See, let me read just from verse 21 again, just the next little paragraph. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side, and will keep your foot from being snared. Now it could be hard, can't it, to read some of these promises and to think that our lives perhaps don't quite measure up, or our experience of life don't quite measure up to what's being said here. But firstly, remember that these described, these rewards described here are promises that God's given to his covenant people if they're obedient to him. So for example, in Leviticus 26, it kind of uses some of the language here. So listen to what it says. God says, "I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country." It sounds good. This peace and security was enjoyed for a short time in Israel's history under King Solomon. But for us today, as we stand in the perfect obedience of Jesus, these are comforts that we can start in many ways to enjoy now, and comforts that we look forward to enjoying fully in heaven for all eternity. Now, we know this doesn't describe our current lives completely, in that even if you think of the life of our Lord Jesus, who lived perfectly wise, his foot, in one sense of verse 26, is snared, isn't it? Jesus lived perfectly, yet at the cross, Satan struck Jesus' heel. And yet this was the wise path that Jesus walked in order to bring glory to God and reconciliation and forgiveness to sinners like us. So these verses aren't just simply promises or promise of a good night's sleep, though as a parent of young children, I wish that was the case. But as we let wisdom shape our steps, there will be a distinction on how we do life and why we do things. So for example, in verse 25, we're told, "And have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked." And this is true. As we trust God's sovereignty, as we hold on to the wisdom that God gives through his word, as we walk in step with him, we won't fear like others fear. So let me just give you an example. I'm sure everyone here would agree that the thought of dying is naturally scary, right? But as we hold on to wisdom, we see that, firstly, God is with us, even in the face of death. And in Jesus, we know that death has been defeated, and we have this glorious hope to look forward to in the future. So that's just one example of how we see things slightly differently. As wisdom shapes our steps, we learn to trust God and learn more and more how blessed we are to have found wisdom. Let me ask, are your steps being shaped by God's wisdom? Are you allowing God's word to mold your character and be the lens on how you view life? Blessed are those who find wisdom. Wisdom used by God to make our world. Wisdom available to shape our steps. And finally, wisdom available to order our community. See, after seeing the value of wisdom, our personal lives begin to change. But also how we do life with others begins to change too. So just notice the number of commands that flow after verse 27. So I won't read it all, but you'll get the idea. So verse 27, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due." Verse 28, "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor." Verse 30, "Do not accuse anyone for no reason." Verse 31, verse 32, "For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence." We have this kind of flow of commands after we've seen the value of wisdom and seen how it's starting to shape our steps. As those who have received God's wisdom, who have God's wisdom at work in our lives, we are called to pursue what is right, to act in love and joy and in peace towards others. Now, you might have wondered in verse 27, whom it is due. Who's that talking about? Just the halfway through the verse. Now, I think this is in line with what Paul says in Galatians 6 when he says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." I think it kind of encapsulates kind of church family and outer family in the world. Now, these commands that we've just looked through, this kind of shaping of our community, I'm sure these are things we'd love to see shaping our Brexit negotiations and Enfield Borough Town meetings. But more than that, As wisdom-filled people, I pray that the fruit of these commands would bear in our church community. As we seek to build one another up in love and display the love of Jesus towards one another and towards all who would come in and all who we rub shoulders with. And Jesus' teaching is no different to this, is it? So think of Jesus as he taught, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Order your relationships right. Fearing the Lord and loving him is going to lead to loving your neighbor well. Again, Paul, kind of in Ephesians, picks up on some of this language. So here's an example. He says to the Ephesians, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You see, the wisdom here cuts through all of Scripture. What Jesus said is no different here. What Paul said was echoing the same thing. And so as we have this wisdom, together let's pray and strive for this valuable wisdom to shape our steps and to positively affect how we treat one another within our church family and the community outside. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Wisdom used by God to make our world. Wisdom available to shape our steps. Wisdom available to order our community. As we end, just look at the last couple of verses. So just turn the page, verse 33 to 35. And I think here, one thing that struck me is just this passage and these verses here, they seem to echo slightly the teaching of Jesus in the Beatitudes, when Jesus is teaching his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And interestingly, as Jesus declares what blessed living is there in the Beatitudes, he goes on to describe his followers as salt and light in the world, as those who are distinctive, who stick out precisely because he has shaped their lives differently through his word. As we've considered from Proverbs 3 how valuable and awesome God's wisdom is, and seen that it's available to us, may it shape our steps this week. May it order our church community, that people in Enfield Town, those who we rub shoulders with, would get a glimpse of God's wisdom and be drawn to his wisdom, that they too may experience the wisdom available to all who ask for it. I started by asking you, how would you finish that sentence? Blessed are... And I really hope that as we spent time in Proverbs 3, that you'd see the value of wisdom, and that you'd let it mold you to be like Jesus, who is wisdom. Wisdom that saves us, and wisdom that helps us navigate the paths of life. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then the band come up and lead us in a final song. Our Father in heaven, we praise you again for your wisdom. Wisdom that you use to create our world. Wisdom that, as we ask for it, you gladly give us to shape our life, to order our community. Father, thank you that your wisdom is in your word. Please, may it be infectious for us, that we would be drawn to your wisdom daily, that we'd learn great truths from it on how to live life in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you. And we thank you for our Lord Jesus, who is wisdom, who perfectly obeyed you, who went to the cross to make it possible to give wisdom to us. As we pray, let me just read some words from Revelation chapter 2. It says this, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Father, please, as you've given us wisdom, help us to be victorious. Help us to aim high in our walk with you. And Father, we long for that day where we can grab, as it were, the tree of life and take hold of it fully and be with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.